Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! I shoot flamingos in a fruit fight! Every cover of day, whirling around at night.
Well, there goes the Daverhood. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the 221st episode of Dave's Gone By. The still talking episode of Dave's Gone By. See, this one, there's no... Well, okay, there is a guest this time. It is my regular and wonderful and very happy to have him co-host, Jeff Goodman, is going to be with us. Hello, Jeff.
Oh, don't worry. I'm nobody. Just forget about me.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, well...
I'll just sit in the corner here and decompose.
Aww.
Just like Beethoven.
Just like, yes, okay. No, but Jeff will be joining us, mostly because we're going to be talking about the theater for part of this
But mostly
program.
We'll be ignoring him.
Yeah, pretty much. In fact, I'm going to turn your mic down now, because I want to get into the show, because we have so much to do. Jeff is miming, talking a lot, only not saying anything, which is what a mime would do, wouldn't he? Anyway, let me give you the... what's going on? So we've had a lot of guests, and we've had all sorts of stuff going on the past couple of weeks, and we also had a guest who was supposed to call in a week or so ago, I think it was last week, and never did, and never called to apologize, and then this woman who I was really excited about having on the program, and she ended up I'm sorry, what was that, Jeff?
Who was that?
That was Cindy Sheehan. Remember the woman with the dead kid in Iraq, and she became the big protester?
Oh.
Yeah, she never called.
Oh, I can't get mad at her.
I can. Not like I'm happy her kid died, but I don't care. So anyway...
Oh, Dave, that's so mean.
Hey, if she wanted to bitch about the president, then this would have been the time. Well, last weekend.
Well, if I were here, it would have been the time. That would have been... Oh, I would have loved to have been here for that. Maybe she didn't call in because I wasn't here.
Yeah, that could be it. It was your presence that was absent, and therefore she didn't...
Mm-hmm.
But anyway...
Sorry.
Tonight, I wanted to do more of the old-fashioned Dave's Gone By before I started having so many guests on the program, and when we did more segments and things like that. And so, we're doing Inside Broadway, as we have been pretty much every week, A, because it's by one of our great sponsors, Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine.
That's the Bible of Broadway.
You betcha. You betcha. To which... Dave's Gone By listeners get 10% discounts on annual subscriptions. But the other reason is it's...
And 20% off back issues.
Back issues? Yeah, why not? Okay, that's fine by me. 20% off on back issues.
I love giving extra discounts to our non-listeners.
As long as it's a discount that I'm okay with, since you don't bother to check with me before you...
I know. No, I just bring these extras.
Yeah. 20% off if you need a back issue.
Do you know that Hewlett Miniman Press is having half off next week?
Well, there goes your mic, and there goes our sponsor. No, I'll get to the sponsors in a second. All right, but anyway, pardon me. I'm still coping with a cough that I've had from the cold that I got 3 weeks ago. Go figure. Anyway, so there's going to be Inside Broadway also because the Broadway season, just ended a week ago. Last week we were talking a bunch about that when Ms. Sheehan so rudely did not call in, so we talked about the last bunch of shows at the end of the Broadway season and the nominations being released this past week. So we got the Tony nominations, and Jeff and I are going to talk about them. And then, but that's not the whole show.
It's not.
No, there's more. There's going to be the news.
Just when you thought that was enough for a full show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Jeff, I know how much you love this segment. The News Gone By.
Oh,
is back.
I hope we make fun of Cindy Sheehan's dead son.
No, we've already done that. Speaking of decomposing. But...
David, I have to make you into a nice person one day.
I have a bone to pick with her. His. Oh, don't start coughing like me now.
Oh, no.
But anyway, so the News Gone By returns with the jokes that Jeff never laughs at.
Sometimes I laugh at them.
Okay.
I laugh at the funny ones.
Yeah, thank you so much. And then at the very end, I want to get some of your opinion on this too, but basically I want to rant. We're going to talk about, and I've been doing this occasionally on the show, because every week there's another aspect to the radio purges, which is what I'm calling them. radio hosts pushing the envelope, saying things that may not be polite company kinds of things to say, and then getting suspended, fired, maybe fined. I mean, just this onslaught.
And kicked off the Stony Brook airwaves.
Stony Brook is one thing. Stony Brook, look, the worst, I mean, the one that really, really scares me happened this past week. I mean, it's one thing when you get off, like, a some dumb freeform station. It's another when, CBS suspends you because it's CBS, and or when regular on-air radio has a problem with you and the sponsors get all head up. But when satellite radio starts suspending people, then it's over. Then we really have to worry, because that's the end of the freedom of satellite, and it's scary as hell. I want to get into that.
And you know what that means?
What does that mean?
The terrorists have won.
You know, it does. In my mind, when censorship starts to take hold, the terrorists actually do win. So anyway, well, terrorists being the right-wing conservative people in America. Anywho, hey, Jeff, since you're here, how about doing the other sponsors?
Well, there's Hewlett Minuteman Presses, which is running a special Jeff sale.
Now.
Just mention my name, and you might get something off.
You'll get 10% off, as Dave Gone By listeners know. 10% off on all copy, printing, binding, any kind of jobs you got, Hewlett Minuteman Press. Go to them.
Because they are the copy kings of Broadway.
They certainly are. Broadway and Hewlett, that is, of course. And give us another sponsor, Jeff, please.
Oh, there is my favorite, MortgagesRock.com.
Yes, indeed. Why is it your favorite, Jeff?
Because Mortgages Rock just rocks, and you can make money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you could tell you can rip your friends off by mortgages.
You just want to lose me all my sponsors.
No, I'm only kidding. No, MortgagesRock.com, actually. Remember when I was looking for a home equity loan. They helped me a lot with all that. I got a lot of good information.
Did you call them or just go to the website?
I went to the website. It was very helpful. It really was.
That's what they did. It gives you step-by-step information on how, well, you can get a mortgage loan, but also you can get other people loans. So learn how to be a mortgage broker and get the commission.
It's very easy.
Good.
That's what was amazing.
But did you get the equity loan, or you didn't bother? Or?
Well, WAMU gave me a better rate.
Oh.
So thank you, WAMU.
Okay. I think I'll do the last sponsor.
Jeff giveth and Jeff taketh away.
Now, our last sponsor is something called Fancy Schmancy Balloons.
Who would ever want to use a sponsor like that?
Stupid name. And, I mean, it's supposed to be like these nice things that you do at parties and bar mitzvahs and christenings and graduation parties, especially these days. And so balloons pop.
You forget the communions.
And there's something very cheesy about balloons, and centerpieces are kind of stupid, and you pay a lot for them. But if you really, really want them, for whatever reason, you might want to give a call to Fancy Schmancy Balloons. You want to do the number?
No, you do the number.
516.
I have a funny story for you.
Great. 797-3229. 797-3229 for all your party needs if you're having kind of a low-level, crappy party.
Because we wouldn't want to make any money. Anyway, no, here's something. My synagogue ran a auction. Brotherhood wanted a fundraising auction.
Yes.
So I donated a full party package thinking, oh, this is going to bring in a lot of money. And what happens was, it just happened last night.
Yeah.
And a good time was had by all at Temple Judea of Mass People. A little plug for them.
Okay.
They need all the members they can get. And so.
Because the average age of theirs yard site.
It really is.
Yeah.
Scary. But, so I donated this, not expensive party package. Mm-hmm. A $595 party package, which is nice. It's a full bar mitzvah package, 10 centerpieces with the balloon tops, a sign in board, an arch over the dais, party nameplate, 10 centerpieces, and the sign in board and book.
Okay.
See, it's a good package, right?
Okay, and a long story, so.
No. So I figured, most people have their parties. This is no good deed goes unpunished story.
Oh, yeah.
So I donated. And all of a sudden, and what do I get for my $595 package?
What?
$200.
Wait, I thought you donated it.
I donated it, but the temple should have made, like, at least $500 off of it.
Oh, in other words, it's an auction.
It's an auction.
I thought you were catering a party
at the
temple.
No, it's an auction.
Oh.
So they only get $200 for it.
Yeah.
And then, the person tells me when their bar mitzvah is. And only you'll laugh when I tell you the date.
Okay. September 11th. No.
March 1st.
I don't get it.
When do I go to Thailand?
Oh, no.
It's right smack dab in the middle of my Thailand vacation.
What are you going to do?
I'm just going to have to go to Thailand early.
You're kidding me.
I have to be back for March 1st.
Can't you get someone else to do it for you?
I don't
I'll
like doing that.
I'll blow up a couple of balloons. I'll
like
do a balloon animal.
I don't like doing that. I like to be at all
God
the parties.
Almighty.
Can you imagine? No
put
good
a couple of dog turds on the tables. Tell them it's a centerpiece. What a lay
I'll out. Get the wicked girls. No good deeds goes unpunished.
Okay. Well, speaking, I do want to, before we get to everything, because already we're running late, but I
wanna, surprise, I'm back.
But I did want to say, I'm a big mazel tov where I was Saturday. Almost of the day was in the middle of the Bronx at Fordham University, where my wife was part of the 162nd commencement exercise.
And how odd that it's our 221st show, and it was the 162nd commencement.
The numbers mean nothing, Jeff. They're not connecting in any kind of a way at all. 221 and
six. It's 126.
Yeah.
221.
Okay, that, you know what that, no, oh God, you know what that was mean? That was mean your mic goes off. Okay, so.
Turn that mic back on.
So anyway, I just, obviously I want to wish a big mazel tov to my wife. It was, thank goodness, it was a slightly rainy day, overcast the whole time, 60, so you didn't have the fainting, you didn't have, and I've got to say, graduation is this huge thing in a school like that.
Did they have balloons?
A couple. Like, one guy brought a balloon in the shape of a cat. I have no idea what the hell that's...
Oh, black cat.
No, it was just a pussy cat kind of a balloon. I don't... Probably so that the person on the dais could see him.
Or maybe that's
that,
what he was looking for.
Well, yeah, there you go. Bum-bum-tsh. But it was really well done, and you know, because they have to be ready at a moment's notice, because if it had been thunderstorming, they would have had to move the whole thing. 15,000 people indoors. I'm
the,
serious.
The team of the universe would go, okay, everybody, run!
And what happens is after the big ceremony, then all the different colleges and the high-level things branch off into these different tents and different buildings where the PhDs and the masters are given, which is what my wife got. She got her PhD in sociology yesterday. So mazel tov to her. And, you know, the guest speaker, the big speaker at the big ceremony, take a wild guess. Was it Don DeLillo? Was it
Don
DeLuise?
Don DeLuise. Was it Don
Not quite. No, it was Willie Randolph. The skipper of the New York Mets. Now, the reason was...
That's why they were on a winning streak.
Yeah. Well, the main reason they did it is his daughter graduated yesterday. So he wanted to be... And they asked him, as long as your daughter's graduating, would you like to be
as
the commencement speaker?
As long as
you
come in here anyway.
Yeah. And he said, yeah. But you know what? And he was personable. And he did... I will say this. He did one thing that a commencement speaker is supposed to do. And that is... talk to the kids. Give them a little advice. Give them a little personal history. Wish them well. From what I remember of the people at my graduation, no, I don't even remember the second one when I got my master's, but when I got my bachelor's, they had Daniel Patrick Moynihan. Okay, now Senator Moynihan is one of the most respected, or was, one of the most respected.
He's dead now.
He's bones now, too. And just, I mean, he could have been, he should have been president at some point. What does he do? He gets up there for about 45 minutes, and all he's doing is talking politics and a speech that he could have given at some senatorial meeting. And when nobody's listening to him, and we're all bored out of our minds. Like, what the? Just tell us how good we are. Tell us to go forth into America and do exciting things and be well and have
I
fun.
I so agree with you. You know why?
Why?
Because you know who spoke at my... The guy who spoke at mine did the same exact thing.
Oh, yeah, who was it?
Daniel Patrick Moynihan.
Okay.
He was.
Really?
Yes.
When did you graduate?
In 1980.
I didn't know that. What school?
Binghamton.
He was younger. Well, no, wait. It's only a couple of years away. That was 1984 for me. How was it? What did he say? Do you remember a
I
damn
have no
thing
idea.
He said?
Willie Randolph,
I'm glad he's dead, too.
Did Willie Randolph get up there and go, baseball been very, very good to me?
Well, he was a little... Still more articulate than that.
Did he say, okay, now you're rounding second?
He did do some baseball metaphors, and he did talk about his, I mean, let's face it, the man is not Barack Obama. The man is not, I mean, he's a baseball player. He talks like a baseball player. Half the time he could barely get words out. But no, that's not fair. But
let's try not to be mean.
But he tried to do, I mean, I also went to my cousin's high school graduation.
And you know who spoke there?
Who?
Daniel Patrick Moynihan.
No, the principal. You know what he talked about the whole speech?
Politics.
Jackie Onassis. He was enamored of... She just died, I think.
Well, who wouldn't be?
And he said, let's all try and be like Jacqueline Onassis. Every boy, every man in the thing is like, what are you crazy? What the hell is wrong with you, Jacqueline? Be boring, beautiful. Marry well. What the
right.
hell kind of speech is this?
Twice, marry well.
So I think the horrible thing is, of all the speeches that I've heard people give at graduations, this has been the best so far. Colleges, you've got to be doing... They used to have Vonnegut at some of these colleges. They used to have real people doing great stuff. Stop it. Stop. Get some good people, for gosh.
Did you see the clip of Clinton? He was speaking at a... He and Bush Sr. were speaking at a graduation...
Yeah.
He got Doctor of Humane Letters for going down and helping all the people that really,
yeah.
really they didn't help in from the hurricane in
Katrina.
New Orleans.
Yeah.
So Clinton goes, I just want to know something that you all have in common besides all wearing those black hats and those black dresses.
Oh, are they cousins?
No. He goes, the hats
and the beards on the women.
Yeah, no. He goes, he mentioned something about the. The gown,
gowns,
he goes, and God knows what you're wearing under the gowns. I forgot, he just mentioned that what people are wearing under their gowns, only Clinton.
God bless him. He was it was so much more real than any of these other. Anyway, we're so behind. But, and speaking of Clinton, we've got to do some commercials. We'll be back with Inside Broadway on Dave's Gone By right after this. Okay, so your business proposal has been typed, proofread, photoshopped, and given a nice cover. Now, all you need is 20 spiral-bound copies plus 1,000 printings of your latest brochure. Your Xerox can't do it. Your mailroom can't do it. Hewlett Minuteman Press can do it all. Your one-stop printing shop, Minuteman, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, open 6 days a week. 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners. Family-owned Minuteman. Their service can't be duplicated.
MortgagesRock.com. Online training, it's free, it's fast. Needs no explaining, designed for your success. It's easy to be the bomb at MortgagesRock.com.
Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide. Yes, we go inside Broadway on the week that the Tony Award nominations have been announced, but we're going to get to them in just about 2 or 3 minutes, because first I want to give you the basic Broadway news of what's been happening over the past week or so. Well, they seem to have nailed down, after some real kind of hinky times, casting for Young Frankenstein. You know, because even with the success of the producers, even with the imprimatur, if I'm pronouncing that right, of Mel Brooks and me who's that choreographer, director, Stroman?
Susan Stroman.
The people are regrouping for it. Still, people, television, the money, so half the people that they were approaching couldn't do it. They were booked. They had other things to do. But they're finally nailing it down. Do you know who's going to play Dr. Frankenstein?
I only do because I read it right here. I didn't know, but I'm very excited. Roger Bart.
But I sort of see him more as an Igor, or do you think he's... You know, I think he's good, though. He can do anything.
Yeah, he's... He'll play it up. He can camp anything up.
Apparently, at one point, Norbert Leo Butz was up for that as well. I see him really as an Igor.
Oh, yeah.
But he was apparently up for Frankenstein.
I wonder who they're going. Who was the short guy who did...
Help me. The short guy, he did what? And you're expecting me to...
I know. He did the horrible Michael Crawford thing, Night of the Vampire.
Max von Essen? No.
No. But he got his start in Rocky Horror Show.
Oh, gosh.
He'd be great as Igor.
I'm sorry, I'm blanking.
I know, I am too.
But here are some of the other names. You want to do some?
No, you do them.
Okay, and Andrea Martin, beloved from Second City Television, is going to be playing Frau Blücher. That was the Chloe.
That was the horses.
I get it. Very well done.
I didn't do it well.
Megan Mullally as
Mullally.
Mullally She's going to be in it as is Shuler Hensley. He was just in Tarzan. He's going to play the monster, the Peter Boyle role. And the show's going to try out in Seattle and arrives on Broadway this fall.
Very excited about that, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, I was scared about the producers. I thought, what can they do to top the movie? They didn't top the movie in any way. But at least they did well. They did it all.
It improved upon the movie.
On what planet?
No, it just gave it music.
No. Anyway, okay. Coming back in the winter is The Grinch. The How the Grinch Stole Christmas, which played Broadway. Actually, it was a cool little show. Perfect for families. In fact, it was only 75 minutes long, and they had this special union thing where they were able to run it about 12 times a week. Really?
For full price.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like $90, $100.
That was my big thing with that. If they had charged $50 for top for that, right. I think that would have been fine.
Well, you know what? I'll say this. There was a Harold Pinter play that ran off-Broadway 2 years ago. It was terrible. Two people in it. Nothing happened. And the tickets were $50. So if an off-Broadway thing with nothing gets that kind of money, you got to figure a Broadway show.
But I've seen cabarets for like $10
and
they're great.
I know. But anyway, The Grinch is coming back, and it's going to play this time at the St. James Theater.
Boy, did they luck out with that theater, huh?
Yeah, well, just came up. You know, everything's going to be snatched every time a show leaves.
Speaking about a show leaving.
Go ahead. You do this one.
Oh, Journey's End is ending.
Yeah.
However, I have a feeling that they've announced they're going to close June 10th, but I'm hoping that this is just a ploy because the Tony Awards are the 10th or the 3rd?
Tony Awards are the 10th. The day of the Tonys is the day it's closing. So they can't bring it back the next week if they already closed it. It's not like they can change their mind, I think.
Well, they can pull down the closing notice until the 3rd, I believe.
Well, yeah, but they won't know. The only way they could get a boost at the box office is if it wins for Best Revival,
unless, of course, they get a little boost from all the nominations. They did do quite well in nominations.
I know, and deservedly. It's a terrific revival. Okay, and we've got I Love You, You're Perfect, now 4,500.
And talk Chinese.
Well, you know why I'm doing that.
Because they're doing a week or two of Chinese, the Chinese cast.
Yeah, they brought in an entirely Mandarin Chinese cast to do the musical in Chinese for about 2 weeks. And the irony is, while that cast is in town, the show is reaching its 4,500th performance today. So the company's been there since May 9th, and this is the first show since the Fantastics, the original Fantastics, which ran over 17,000 performances. This is the first one to play more than 10 years off-Broadway. So congratulations to I Love You, You're Perfect. I haven't seen it since it opened, but it was cute. It's a nice little show.
It was okay. It's a little ditty, as it were.
A little? Yeah, well, it's full of little ditties.
Give me a C, a bouncy C.
We're going to give you a bouncy commercial, and then we're going to talk about the Tony nominations right after this. There is a season, turn the pages of Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, because this is the season for Broadway. All the big shows are opening in the next few weeks. Learn about them all. For 64 years, Performing Arts Insider has been the Bible of Broadway. Find out why by going to performingartsinsider.com. Subscriptions are 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners. So turn to Performing Arts Insider for every show. Show under heaven. Yes, turn to Performing Arts Insider Magazine, and now we turn to the Tony Award nominations announced this week. Yay! Tonys are going to be happening June 10th, that's a Sunday night. Oh, and no, this is the big news, I said it last week, but if for some reason you weren't listening, if you were like Cindy Sheehan and off, complaining about something, because
Stop it, Dave!
Okay. Anywho, I'm not crying or complaining at all because I will be hosting, and Jeff is, of course, invited to co-host, the 3rd annual WGBB Tony Awards special, Monday, prime time, June 4th, from 7 to 10 p.m. on this station, AM 1240 WGBB. Also, of course, live streaming on the internet, so tell your friends all over the country.
How many hours is that going to be?
3 full happy hours on Monday night. From 7 to 10, we'll have guests, also phone callers calling in, hopefully get another couple of nominees like we did last time, because we had Danny Burstein calling in.
Oh, he was great.
Chaperone. It was wonderful. and play some show tunes, and of course talk all about the nominations even more than we're going to have a couple of
minutes. And we'll probably have a few less curses than we had last year.
Well, that was one, yeah. Why must you always bring the negative? Always.
Because of all people, the curses, two people.
Well, no, only one. No, you're thinking of the New Year's show. No, we had one caller during the Tony show who was livid at the at the people running the show because something bad really happened. And she had not been on radio, obviously, much. And she was not on satellite, and she let herself get a little too excited about it. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that will not happen again. So, what did you think of the Tony nominations, Jeff?
I was sort of happily and unhappily surprised.
Specifically?
Well, I was happy that they did not forget things like Little Dog Laughed.
You think that deserved a Best Play Tony
nomination? What else would you put in instead?
It was a weak year, but it was a nice, cute, funny play. All right, why not?
I thought it was. I thought it was very well written, and I thought it was brilliant. And
brilliant?
Well, it was sort of brilliant.
It was smart. It was smart and funny. I guess to round out the category, why not?
And of course, the fact that they didn't forget Julie White.
Well, no, they shouldn't. I mean, she was the thing, at least at that point, that they were saying made the show, her character, of the agent, who she was marvelous. There's no question.
I was very surprised that they left out
play, musical?
Musical.
Oh.
The last one to open.
Which was Love Music? Or
yeah, well...
Well, that was close.
Yeah, Love Music didn't get it.
Oh, you mean Legally Blonde?
Legally Blonde.
I was not so surprised. I didn't think Legally Blonde was that good. It worked. It was good enough, and it certainly reached its target audience. But I read the New York Post article saying everybody was shocked it didn't make it.
But Curtains?
Curtains was better. Curtains had a clever book, and it had some good Candor and Ebb tunes, and it was enjoyable and pretty funny. It was a mess a little bit.
In some ways.
Well, it's very tough. They tried to do a murder mystery thriller comedy thing. And didn't all work, but some of it did. And I liked it better than I liked Legally Blonde. And Love Music bored the hell out of me. I wanted that to work so much, and it just did not. Sorry. So, as far as the nominees that are there, Curtains, Grey Gardens, your favorite Spring Awakening.
Yes.
And Mary Poppins didn't make. That was kind of the... The real...
That was a surprise.
That last one wasn't going to be Mary Poppins.
Well, I was surprised they also didn't nominate Five.
Oh, they can do Five?
Sure.
Oh. Well, they didn't do Five. I think they only do Five for the acting. I think it's Four for some of the others. I could be completely wrong about that. Because they chose to do Four a lot.
I think they could have done Five. They could, you know, because remember the one year that they...
Oh, well, there are some years they do three. And
they
then,
do two, and one year they gave, what was her name, who happened to be in Radio Golf. She got the Tony Award for Best Actress in a Musical by just being nominated, because there was no one else nominated.
Yeah. So were there any other shocking omissions or commissions or anything that you really feel?
I'm not sure. What do you think?
I was, like all these things, I'm a little happier with this one than I usually am. I'm dreading the fact that Coast of Utopia is going to run away with things that will make people feel it was better than it was, where it was just very long and interesting to a point, but just, glad it was over when it was over.
Don't be so sure Coast of Utopia is going to walk away with it.
Well, I mean, some of the design awards, definitely. It's, unfortunately, I think, going to win Best Play, where I would much prefer Frost Nixon to win.
Oh, I think Frost Nixon, and there's going to be a strong Radio Golf contingent.
Not strong. No, I mean, there may be some sentimentality. I mean, it's not his best play. It's a good play. It's not his best play.
But there's going to be a lot of sentimentality for...
If there's sentimentality from Radio Golf, though, it's going to pull away from Frost Nixon and not from Coast of Utopia. The people will like that. The snob hit, they're going to like it, then they're going to vote for it. So anyway, let's go through a couple of the other things quickly before we got to move on. We've got revivals are Inherit the Wind, Journey's End, Talk Radio, and Translations. That's a pretty reasonable slate. Were you upset that Prelude to a Kiss didn't get the
I would
there?
Have liked to have done it because I really liked that revival.
It was a good production, and I might have traded it for Translations. Translations is a
good play. I was really surprised Translations got in there.
Well, it got a very good Times review, and up until the last scene, it was actually a very good play. He blows it in the last 20 minutes, which just goes... on and on.
I'm trying to think whether there were revivals that happened this year that were just... what didn't get nominated?
Oh, wait a minute.
What?
Did Chorus Line get...
No.
Best re- oh, yes, it did. That's best revival of musical, of course. The Apple Tree, which was very air. That was a very, very Blair revival. Chorus Line did get nominated. Company, which could win, although 110 in the Shade has Audra McDonald, which is kind of an engine that could fuel anything. So, and yes, your Kiki and Herb did get a nod for a special theatrical event. Hopefully, Jay Johnson, the puppeteer, will beat them. Senseless.
No, don't.
Oh, God, were they horrible. Sorry.
Don't be so mean. They were not horrible. They were very good.
Oh, they were wretched. Just wretched. So, anyway, once again, telling you all, these are the Tony noms, and if you want to find out on here, not just more of this, but we'll be talking to Tony nominees, and we'll be playing show music from the year, all sorts of stuff. Well, what is it, Jeff?
I was also, weren't you surprised at the revival of Les Mis?
Mm.
There was a little...
I think Les Mis wasn't really closed long enough for them to count it. Although, you know, I was very happy that they gave Celia Keenan-Bolger a nomination.
Mm-hmm.
She came out of 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee to go into Les Mis, and she was terrific. She really showed herself to be, and I'm glad about that nomination. So congrats to her. Congrats to all the nominees. Join us on June 4th, Monday night, from 7 to 10 for the third annual WGBB Tony Awards special, hosted by me, co-hosted by Jeff, probably have another co-host, too.
Three hours of theater. Oh, theater music. Mm.
3 hours when we go inside Broadway. We've just been inside Broadway, thanks to TotalTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider. What are the gifts that keep on giving? Education, culture, herpes. What about a Dave's Gone By CD? For just $11, you can surprise and delight that special someone with a digitally recorded hour of comedy, music, and magic. Nearly every episode we've ever done is on sale, so visit davesgoneby.org to choose the show you want. Save money with multiple orders. Add a dollar for a personal autograph. Dave's Gone By on CD, my gift to the world.
My radio's on, the news is all bad, but it's good to relax.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this Sunday night, May 20th. It's time for the News Gone By, a look at local and world events from a dismaying perspective. Well, we can all stop our worrying and our fretting. Prince Harry will not be sent to Iraq as part of his military service. The British Army says the decision was made because of specific threats against Harry's regiment if he were deployed there. The prince issued a statement saying he's disappointed he won't go to Iraq. Yeah.
Right. But do you...
What?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Do you also know he's not allowed to go out partying while his regiment is in Iraq?
Really?
Yeah. They said he will not be doing any partying.
For 2 years. Poor prince. So where's he going to be? He's going to be doing, like, regular service or something like that?
I don't know. Maybe he's just going to be vacuuming the palace.
I mean, but just the idea of him being disappointed and not going to Iraq. It's like saying, okay, Mr. and Mrs. Greenbaum, about your two choices for your summer vacation, it was between the cruise to Bermuda or the bus to the South Bronx. Unfortunately, the bus broke down and was then torched by a teenage mob. So really, Bermuda is your only option at this point. And you know, Mrs. Greenbaum responding, oh, Irving, I'm so disappointed. I mean, Bermuda's nice, but I had my heart set on Tremont. Disappointed he won't go to Iraq. It's ridiculous.
Well, you know, he doesn't even know what that's... He's so sheltered.
He doesn't even know what war is, come to think of it.
War.
That's what good for. Moving to political news. On a promotional tour for his new book, Jimmy Carter blasted the current U.S. president, calling the Bush administration, quote, the worst in history. In other news, American Idol's William Hung called Sanjaya Malakar the worst singer in history. Charles Manson called David Berkowitz the worst psychopath in history. And a giant lump of horse manure called a giant lump of cow manure, quote, stinky. Speaking of fecal matters, thank you for laughing. All right, you got to laugh, Michael Jeff, yay! Very early in the history...
I like comparison humor.
Good. Oh, I'm glad to know that. Early in the history of this program, I interviewed a fellow named Kip Cohn, owner of a local sporting goods store. Kip had been arrested because when he paid his LIPA bill, he expressed displeasure for the utility by writing on the envelope things like LIPA sucks and dump Kessel. Well, this was only a year or two after 9/11, so the folks at LIPA panicked. They sensed a terrorist in their midst, so the cops made Kip Cohn do a night in the pokey. Now, the absurdity of all this soon reached the media, and charges were quickly dropped. And, well, someone has now taken the Kip Cohn method a step further, and you should see what they stepped in. A 22-year-old Minnesota man was charged with disorderly conduct when he paid a parking ticket and included feces in the envelope. According to the Associated Press, the man put his payment in a drop box, no pun intended. A police employee was gathering up the mail when she noticed the stench and then one envelope leaking, quote, a brown liquid. This fluid allegedly got on her hands and her desk. This then caused her to wake up the next morning with vomiting and headaches, and she was actually hospitalized for 2 days with an undisclosed illness. I don't know. I have two dogs. Now, I handle their feces 3-4 times a day, and I don't get so much as a sniffle. Plus, if I miss a nugget or two of poo, and it sits on the floor for 2 days, what happens? The liquid pretty much dries up, and you're left with something a lot closer to moon rocks than poo. Still, there's a lesson for all of us here. If you're going to send excrement in the mail, realize that some innocent secretary is going to be opening it. Also, if it doesn't dry up, you're going to ruin a bunch of other people's mail. And most of all, with the new U.S. postal rates and the crazy rules for mailing packages, honestly, you're better off using DHL. DHL, of course, standing for Duty Handling Limited. Okay, no laugh there? No.
It's well, scary, but it's true. So do what the good book, do what the good book, do what the good book tells you to. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
In obituary news, goodbye and good riddance to Jerry Falwell, world-famous televangelist and right-wing a-hole who helped found the so-called moral majority back in the Reagan era. You didn't know Jerry Falwell died?
No.
Jerry Falwell died, Jeff. Oh. The son of an alcoholic bootlegger, Falwell began preaching out of an abandoned bottle factory in Lynchburg, Virginia. Within 6 months, he was on TV and radio, and by 1973, he was already forming the special interest group that would put heavy-duty Christians like Reagan and both Bushes in the White House. As if that wasn't reason enough to hate him, he was also outspoken against liberal politics, homosexuality, abortion, even satire. He is the guy who sued Larry Flint over a mocking cartoon in Hustler. He's the guy who branded Teletubby Tinky Winky as a Twinkie. He's the guy who blamed 9/11, at least partially, on, quote, the pagans and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians whose alternative lifestyles have tried to secularize America, unquote. And this guy founded a university and a 24,000-member church. May they join him soon. Jeff?
He'll be buried in a brown paper bag and lit a fire where people can step on it.
No stepping, because he was a big friend
of
Israel.
Don't you understand? That's what you do with a big lump of crap.
I guess, put it
on someone's lawn and you light it.
I'm saying, but he gets a little bit of a gimme because he was pro-Israel. So I'll give him that. That's all I'll give him, but I'll give him that. Now, for those of you who liked Jerry Falwell, are you disgusted by Opie and Anthony, shocked by JC and Elvis, scandalized by Don Imus? Then for God's sakes, don't read the Bible. The Bible is just a cesspool of sex, violence, deviant behavior, and that's not just my opinion. That's the opinion of more than 800 people in China who have asked authorities to reclassify the holy book as indecent. Why? Are they ultra-rabid child protectors who think any book stronger than My Pet Goat is a threat to society? Actually, no. What they were responding to, at least what one hopes they were responding to, was a tribunal that branded as indecent a college newspaper sex column. Editors at the Chinese University Journal that prints the feature vigorously defended the need for a sex advice column, even one that asked its readers whether they ever fantasized about incest or bestiality. Of course, this sent authorities into a tizzy, but what's really cool is the backlash. A Chinese website sprang up and tried to prove that the Bible, with all its wars and tortures and multiple marriages, is way more obscene and dangerous than any sex column. And as I said, more than 800 readers agreed, and they bombarded the local television station with protests that the Bible should be off limits to children under 18. I'm just sorry they didn't take it further. I think they really need to ban the scriptures until folks are 25 at least. I mean, Adam and Eve were naked and knowing each other. Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And what could be more phallic than the Tower of Babel? Jonah was swallowed by the whale. I assume he bought the whale dinner first. And what?
But they didn't say if it was a sperm whale.
Well, good. Thank you. Good one for Jeff. I wish I had my comedy bell with me. And what was Noah doing on the ark with all those animals? And when God hardened Pharaoh's heart, I get the feeling he hardened something else as well. And you know, maybe they should just ban the Bible. It has certainly caused more trouble, more horror, than any newspaper sex column ever has. Well, except Jeffrey Dahmer's Love in the Kitchen feature, but those only ran in the Village Voice for a month or two. Remember a couple of weeks ago when I talked about visiting a Walmart in North Carolina and being shocked at how guns were just another readily available item for customers there? Well, listen to what happened in Chicago. 10-month-old Bubba Ludwig, an adorable infant.
Bubba?
Well, they call
it baby
Bubba.
Bubba?
Baby Bubba. The baby that Bubba and you. He just received, guess what he got in the mail?
A gun.
A gun permit. That's right. According to the Associated Press, Bubba Ludwig, he can't walk, he can't talk, he can't even reach a doorknob, but he's allowed to own a registered firearm in the state of Illinois. How did this happen? His dad, as a joke, filled out an ID card for him listing his height, 2 feet 3 inches, his weight, 20 pounds, and scribbled down, you know, the fake name. Lo and behold, there are no age restrictions for gun ownership. So little Bubba can now pack heat. And I don't mean his diaper. No, but Police Lieutenant Scott Compton told the Associated Press, quote, "Does a 10-month-old need a firearm owner protection card? No, but there are no restrictions," unquote. And here's the great part. The idea came to Bubba's dad when his dad gave his new grandson a Christmas gift of a 12-gauge Beretta. Dad's keeping the gun away from the kid until he turns 14. However, in preparation for that time, he is buying little Bubba a video camera, DVD copies of Old Boy and Kill Bill, and a junior-sized Virginia Tech t-shirt. Ba-dum-bum. A junior-sized Virginia Tech t-shirt.
Bubba busts a cap.
In here, okay. Yeah. All right. In crime news, this just tickles me. It sounds like a scene out of a...
I'm just so happy Jerry Falwell's dead. So. Jerry Falwell's still dead?
I need Garrett Morris here to... Our top story tonight! No. There's a crime thing that sounds like a scene out of a silent movie. Police were called to check out a domestic disturbance in Hot Springs, Arkansas. When they got there, LaWanda Clay, age 38, became argumentative. She grabbed a can of pepper spray and threatened the officers. One policeman had his own pepper spray, so he used it on her. As he was doing this, she started spraying him, and then the other officer. And so they were all spraying each other with pepper spray. I love the image of that.
Yes.
Until the cop took his nightstick and whacked her in the legs.
I also like her name was LaWanda.
LaWanda.
Hey, mom! LaWanda!
Oh, Miss Clay was actually, she was tearful when she was led away on felony charges, but so were the other officers. Okay, now the title of the...
Were they tears of happiness or joy? I mean, happiness or sorrow.
Well, they brought her in for the thing, so I guess they were happy.
They brought her in for tissues.
Apparently, they gave her a couple more whacks when they got her in a cell. Now, the title of this next item is, Can You Guess What Happened? Can you guess what happened?
They took a bath.
No. In Lake Luzerne, New York...
They drowned.
According to the Associated Press... 18-year-old Damian Mosher had a fun money-making hobby. He would put bullets in a vise and then whack the bullets with a hammer. Can you guess what happened? You're probably pretty close.
They called up Bubba and said, hey, we got a good idea for you, Bubba.
Well, now, understand what he was trying to do. He was also using a screwdriver.
He was busting a cap.
Yeah, exactly. He was opening the bullets up and saving the brass casings for scrap. Because apparently you collect that and you make actually a dollar for a pound of this stuff. So the first 99...
And what would he do with the gunpowder?
I guess clean it up and whatever.
Boom!
Well, actually, the first 99 bullets, whack, no problem. Whack, no problem. Whack, no... The 100th bullet, can you guess what happened?
Boom!
It discharged and lodged about half an inch into his abdomen. It kind of makes the Appalachian Hospital sketch on Saturday Night Live look like a documentary. Anyway, Mosher was treated and released, and he says from now on, he's sticking to much safer pastimes. In fact, he says he has invented an amazing way to take the horrible smell out of ammonia by neutralizing it with bleach. Well, we certainly wish Damien best of luck with his brief future.
It was a train that took me away from here, but a train can't bring me home.
Dave, I don't know which was worse, the piece of news or the piece of music.
You hate Tom Waits, don't you?
No.
Well, you think...
I don't like him, no, you're right. I don't. No.
Okay, well...
I don't hate him, it's a little bit...
Do you hate the Long Island Railroad? You think it's really bad?
It's not great.
It's not great, but dig what happened in Bihar, India last week. An electric train stalled in a neutral zone. That's an area where there's no electric power overhead.
Uh-oh.
So the train stalls. The conductor asked the passengers to get
push.
Out and push. They ended up pushing the train about 12 feet until it was able to get charged up again. No one was hurt, although fistfights broke out when passengers were charged a step-up fare for reboarding the train with a new ticket. Meanwhile, now the Long Island newspaper Newsday heartily praised the Indian Transit Authority, because despite the breakdown and the dangerous conditions and the passengers being used as oxen, Newsday said that, most importantly, the gaps were really, really small. Turning to sports news...
How did you fall through those gaps?
I don't know. Like, even a midget wouldn't fall through a gap like that. I don't know. Turning to sports news, actress Sophia Loren is really beating the drum for her favorite soccer team, the Division II squad from Naples, her hometown. The Napoli. The Napoli team has not won anything in 20 years, but that hasn't stopped the 72-year-old screen siren from promising that if they make the playoffs, she will do a public striptease. This announcement then led 83-year-old American actress Beatrice Arthur to promise that she would do a striptease if the Yankees reached 500. In related news, Roger Clemens, Mariano Rivera, Alex Rodriguez, and Derek Jeter all simultaneously broke their arms in a mysterious accident.
But needless to say, there will be nipple to Naples soon.
Speaking of sex and soccer, a German maker of sex toys... Well, yeah, it is. A German sex toy maker has to pay two soccer stars 50,000 euros each for naming vibrators after them without their permission. The toys, nicknamed the Ollie K and the Michael B, have been pulled from the market. Meanwhile, Oliver and Michael, the real ones, have promised not to allow their names to be associated with any kind of sexual activity. They said in a statement, "We just want to play the game, run around in tight shorts, plow into each other, and handle our balls. And that's the news gone by for Sunday, May 20th.
I was sure there was going to be something about playing with balls there somewhere.
Yes, indeed. Please send your comments, opinions, and pepper spray canisters to Dave's Gone By, P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062.
And don't forget to mix your ammonia and your bleach.
That's right. And bring it to Dave's Gone By, P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. Now, we reserve the right to read your letters on the air, name withheld upon request. My name, not yours. You've got to take your chances. Anyway, please, we always want to hear from you, so send your letters.
Has anyone ever written to you?
Yeah, actually, a few times. Lots of people, in fact.
Well, not your parents.
No, I'm fan letters, weird letters. Oh, yeah. You'd be amazed. You would. And then they've sent emails. So
do
please,
they think you're funny?
Some of them.
You're hilarious.
And you know, when I try to write back, the prison officials allow me usually to. So, and by the way, you can send emails to me. DaveIsGoneBy@AOL.com. D-A-V as in Victor. E-S, GoneBy@AOL.com. So, however you all want to get in touch without actually touching.
And, of course, you can call us at...
No, when? No.
Tonight, in the next 10 minutes.
No, because we have talking to do. We're not done here yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. You can't call us. Just wait. We'll call you.
If we go overtime, you can call. But now we got too much to do. Send postcards, packages, gifts, but please...
And checks. And money orders.
Bullets, please. But no bullets. I'm already having a blast.
Ooh.
We'll be back after this.
And that was new. If that was new. That was very, very, very special news.
If you're a good American, that means you like to own things. Well, now's your chance. You can own a piece of my show. That's right. Dave's Gone By is ready to promote you. If you have a product, event, or service to hawk shamelessly, you can buy 30 or 60 seconds of advertising time on my show. You can even be a sponsor. Just imagine. This week's News Gone By is brought to you by you. We'll be right back after this word from your product. Advertising on Dave's Gone By is cost-effective and reaches listeners not only on Long Island, but on the web all over the world. To get a piece of the Dave, call 516-295-1511 or email davesgoneby@aol.com. To see our disgustingly low ad rates, check our website, davesgoneby.org. Remember, you could be talking to you right now. Are you listening? Dave goes off. Dave goes off. Dave goes off. Dave goes off. Yes, as the phrase goes, it's Dave goes off on a topic, off on a rant. Jeff, you wanted to already start the topic off?
It's about going off the radio.
Well, yeah, let's talk about all the people that are at least temporarily going off the radio or being suspended or being fired, and this ridiculous litany of what is going on in American radio. First, there was, it wasn't quite first. I mean, Howard Stern was first a few years ago with all those fines that drove him to satellite. Now you've got Don Imus calling the basketball players nappy-headed hoes, which was a terrible thing to say, mainly because it wasn't funny. If it was funny, who cares?
No, it wasn't funny. But did you hear, by the way, his producer had a big thing with Al Sharpton, saying he was a race baiter, and Al Sharpton declined that. He said he's not a race baiter, and I think that's wrong, too.
Well, yeah, of course Al Sharpton is a race baiter.
I know, but I know.
He's baited so many races, he could have hooked Moby Dick by now. But I'm bunch. It's a baiting kind of a joke. In fact, he's a master race baiter, if you know what I'm saying. No, that was Hitler. Anyway, I have no idea what I'm saying. But moving on, okay, so you've got the Imus situation. And, of course, his words would have passed people by, but then the sponsors got ooh. So suddenly
the sponsors
Imus
got ooh because someone named Al Sharpton called him up and said, if you don't pull your ads, I'm going to make sure.
What a miserable person he is. God. Anyway, so that was the beginning. That was the start of a landslide, a pebble. Actually, kind of a big rock that started the landslide. Then you had Opie and Anthony being suspended.
It was the tremor that started the radio tsunami.
Yeah. CBS. Let me do DJ and Elvis first. Okay. They did a rather offensive bit where they do phony phone calls. or not necessarily like the crank yanker phone calls, but just calling up and taking the pee out of some business or some person who happens to pick up the phone. So they did this with a Chinese restaurant.
Taking the pee?
Well, the other, I'm using the nice pee word since of what we're talking about. It's a phrase.
Okay.
Okay. May I? So,
please.
Anyway.
I've never heard that phrase.
So again, nobody, if you listen to JV and Elvis, which I haven't and almost never, you may have heard the thing.
And they're big fans of us, too.
But somebody picked up on it because now everybody has everything taped and recorded and put on their cell phones and their iPods and whatever. So suddenly it went around and around. The media picked up on it and said, why aren't these people being fired or whatever, because they're making fun of the Chinese. Well, guess what? Jay and Elvis, because I guess they're not as famous as some of the other folks, they were fired. Not suspended. They were fired from CBS. Again, maybe also because whoever heard of DJ Elvis until then.
Oh, that's another job we can go for. Let's get our resumes out, Dave.
Meanwhile, Rush Limbaugh plays a comedy number called Barack the Magic Negro to Puff
really?
The Magic Dragon. But that's satire, and he's not touched, and that's fine. But at the same time, you've got Opie and Anthony. This is what I was getting at. They've been suspended for 30 days because of a sketch that they did involving one of their characters, Homeless Charlie, who, you know, is not a character like some of the folks I bring on where I impersonate them on this show. He's more like what Howard Stern has with Beetlejuice or Hank the late angry drunken dwarf. This is, I guess, a real homeless or homeless type guy.
Okay.
And he starts talking about raping Condoleezza Rice. And how much, and they're thinking the idea of him doing this and being really brutal and punching her in the face would be like her absolute worst nightmare because of the kind of person that she
right,
is
right.
and what she represents. But then it's like, oh my God, there's a sketch about raping Condoleezza Rice, and the media explodes, and Opie and Anthony have been suspended.
You mean raping Condoleezza Rice is not funny?
Anything
I think it's hilarious.
I think chopping her head off would be really hysterical, but. This is, they get a 30-month suspension. Do you know why this terrifies me? Because Opie and Anthony are, well, yes, they're on regular radio. They weren't suspended from regular radio. They were suspended from XM, from satellite,
ooh.
Where you should be able to say whatever the hell you want to say as angrily and as
that
wonderfully.
That would be heck, Dave.
Heck. No, I can say H-E double toothpicks. It's not gospel time yet. They say it in a different way. So, these guys. This is the gate closing. The first thing was where the neither of the satellites could make money, so they both had to merge. Then they started purging all these people and the big. They keep the big ones. They keep the Martha Stewarts, the Howard Sterns, but all these other people salaries.
And that Martha, she curses up a storm.
I'll bet she did in prison. So anyway, yeah, right. Martha Stewart, you know, the bastion of what's all right in America, and she's been in prison for a year or whatever it was. So all I'm saying is this is really the beginning of the real iceberg. This is going to freeze over because now that satellite radio is giving a crap about what the FCC says, we're all screwed. It's really the beginning of the end.
Who are the FCC anyway?
Federal Communications Commission,
no,
appointed
who?
By the president, who is another person I wouldn't mind seeing raped. But anyway, because we don't have much time.
Please go ahead, cut me off. It's like I'm not even here.
Well, we have a couple of minutes. So if satellite caves into this kind of politically correct horse crap, there's really no place to go. I mean, except maybe HBO. Everything else is going to be a dead zone. My idea to counteract this, because there should be a backlash now.
What is your idea, Dave?
Say something offensive day. Go into a Starbucks, go on a train, go in a supermarket, go in a park, and think of the most outrageous thing you can say that won't be a public hazard. You know, you don't yell fire in a theater. And something that won't get you arrested, and say it. Say that you would like to see Mother Teresa disinterred and her bones ground down to make vibrators. Go do a job talk at your kid's elementary school and spend 10 minutes talking in depth about your last bowel movement. Go call your senator or congressman or the White House and tell the operator that you had a sex dream involving Dennis Kucinich, a donkey, a candle, and a midget in a scuba suit. And masturbate freely while you're explaining how the donkey fits in. Go have drinks at the Algonquin Oak Room and announce loudly to everyone at your table which movie stars you'd like to have tender intercourse with and which movie stars you'd like to rape and behead. Push the envelope. Test the bounds of free speech.
Can I go into the Starbucks and say, I like Dunkin' Donuts better?
Damn right you can. Force everyone who hears you to hear you to expand their notion of what's actually sayable in public. Don't physically hurt anybody. Remember, in the 1950s, you couldn't say pregnant on television. The times changed. Now Oprah talks about orgasms, constipation, and Oprah. So remember, no society was ever hurt by too much talk. Only when it starts shutting people up. Well, time for me to shut up and end the show. So Jeff
shut
and
up,
I,
Dave.
I'm about to. We'll be right back to wrap up the program after these outrageous messages.
Enjoy them.
If you like the laughs I bring you every week on Dave's Gone By, I'll bet you'll like my book a whole lot, too. It's called Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, full of short and funny plays about everything from blind dates to dead people to a bowl of prunes. Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, available from Holvo Books on my website, davesgoneby.org. Makes a great gift, and the laughs are on me. Saturday night at 11, the place to be is right at your computer, because DFSXRadio.com plays vintage episodes of Dave's Gone By. That's right, two different episodes Saturday nights at 11. And all you gotta do is go to my website, davesgoneby.org, for all the links to DFSX Radio, which is part of Live365.com. So be there, or be square, with DFSX. Okay, we are back with the last minute or two or three of Dave's Gone By.
And I didn't like Stony Brook anyway.
Yeah, screw those Stony Brook bastards. There we go. Anyway, but you know who we do like? Our sponsors. The sponsors of this program, Dave's Gone By, which include Performing Arts Insider, the Bible of Broadway. Go to PerformingArtsInsider.com for more information. MortgagesRock.com, where you can learn to be mortgage brokers. And you can get loans yourself. Hewlett Minuteman Press.
Having their very famous Jeff Goodman sale this week.
Which is 10% off. If you mention Jeff or myself at Hewlett Minuteman
Press. Don't just mention me, they'll get 20.
Okay, no. 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, Long Island. And finally, Fancy Schmancy Balloons. What's the phone number?
I forgot.
516-797-3229. Couple of quick shout-outs to Richard Skipper as Carol Channing. Skipper was our guest a couple of weeks ago. He's going to be doing a special performance at Helen's Supper Club on June 5th. Also, I want to shout-out to Ellen Mandel. She was here with her husband, John Lydon, a couple of months ago. Well, she is the music director and the songwriter for a show by Lisa Faith Phillips called 7½ Habits of Highly Effective Mistresses.
Can I shout out to Richard Simmons?
Yes.
Hey, Richard!
But anyway, 7½ Habits is coming back. The show is going to be playing through June 26th at Dylan's Supper Club on West 54th Street.
And you know what that show proves?
What?
Habits are hard to break.
Well, bunch. 7½ Habits of Highly Effective Mistresses, so break a leg to Ellen Mandel on
that. Oh, I thought it was a show about nuns.
No. I don't even know what word you're going for. Now, Jeff Channing, the altar rocker, he was on here talking to the rabbi about a year and a half ago. He says, happy to get the updates about this radio show, and he just wanted to talk a bit about all the stuff that's happening to Phil Spector, because when he was on the show, he talked about how he knew Phil and what a lunatic Phil was. He was a guest at his classes at a school of music, and there was one time, one of the stories is, we all went to Cantor's Deli with Phil, and due to Phil's bizarre behavior, I believe when, he allegedly said, I think I killed someone, yet not pulled the trigger, that's very in keeping with Phil Spector. Now, also want to do wish a refuah shlema, a get well soon, to Bo Diddley. He's 78 years old. He was hospitalized last Sunday after a stroke. He has hypertension and diabetes. Bo was put in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1987, won a Lifetime Achievement Grammy in 1998, debuted back in 1955 with his trademark song, Bo Diddley, and we're going to go out with his sort of life story in song a little bit. Called The Story. No, that's
Oh,
that's Little Richard.
No, but isn't Lucille his guitar or something?
No, it's B.B. King.
Oh.
Anyway.
I can't get these records straight.
It's racism, that's all. And anyway, we'll wish love and happiness and success to my beloved wife, and congratulations again on getting that PhD. God bless her.
Who?
My wife, Joyce.
You go, girl.
Dr. Joyce.
Dr. Joyce.
who will be going to Temple in the fall, Temple University.
Does Dr. Joyce have any brothers?
No. She just got me. But and we have our dogs. Anyway, reminder, you can hear a vintage episode of Dave's Gone By Saturday nights at 11 p.m. and then again at midnight. They make a bit of a change. Dave's Gone By, the vintage episodes now air back-to-back, two of them, on Saturday nights from 11 to 1.
Of course, you can never have enough Dave's Gone By.
And that's on Live365.com's channel, DFSX Radio. Just go to my website, davesgoneby.org, and you can find out all the information. Don't forget, you can also listen to a bunch of shows at theaterpod.com. 25 shows, they're there all the time. You can listen to them for free. You can scroll back, forward, anything you want to do. TheaterPod.
Ah, free Dave. What could be better?
Still coming in the weeks ahead, a couple of guests. We've got Jay Jacobs, the author of a biography of Tom Waits that Jeff loves so much. Also have the leading writer about casino gambling in America, Frank Scoblet, is going to be with us.
I bet he will.
A comedian and psychotherapist, Drew Velting. His audience, you're going to love this, especially since we were just down in Florida. Almost all of his gigs have been in nursing homes and assisted living facilities. So I'm sure he's going to have some wonderful stories to
tell.
And
what does he do? What's his title?
Well, he's a psychotherapist and comedian. Should be interesting.
Oh, by the way, you're manic depressive and you're going to die.
Yes, but am I manic depressive and am I going to die? Oh, I forgot the Alzheimer's. Anyway, we will be back next Sunday, May 27th, 2007, with a 222nd episode.
It's a Karen Valentine episode.
Room 222. You got that. Yes, I'm going to name the show that, too. The 222nd episode of Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz wishing and...
And a very silent Jeff Goodman.
Wishing you good night, happy Shavuos to every Jew and Jewess.
And goodbye.
No.
Dave.
Try
again.
No.
I can't believe I vote.
Happy Shavuos to every Jew and Jewess.
And gone by.
I was born one night about 12 o'clock. Come in this world playing a gold guitar. My papa walk around sticking out his chest. Oh, the mama, this boy, he gonna be a mess. Guitar sound. Now some of them said I had what it takes. If I keep on practicing, I'd be famous one day. Woo! I'm a mess. I'm a killer dealer. Now a man stepped out with a long cigar. He said, stand in line and I can make you a star. I said, well, what's in it, man? What's in it for me? He said, I play your guitar, son, and wait and see. Yeah, I am. Some people I've never seen before.